As I speak with you here about the assassination of conservative titan Charlie Kirk a few days ago, I want to relate to you just a small amount of the news and commentary about this horrific event and its consequences for our nation. This video is a compilation of video clips taken from the internet in recent days, which I'm going to play back to back through the end of them without further comments of my own beyond what I'm saying here at the outset. And these range from a day or so after the event and before the arrest of the alleged perpetrator to comments made after the perpetrator was taken into custody. If you are perusing the internet, you are aware of so much that's being related in these past few days following Kirk's murder by a crazed, brainwashed, useful idiot for international communism, including communism being peddled up to the gullible masses under its new whitewashed public relations name, globalism. But I hope that what is presented here will encapsulate much of the essence of what has been revealed thus far. As you will see, it's being reported that there have been news headlines, a song, and even a book offered for sale about Charlie Kirk's killing before the murder occurred. This would indicate a conspiracy that involves more than just the deranged shooter. FBI Director Kash Patel has stated the Bureau will thoroughly investigate all of this. As I said in a recent ex-post, Charlie Kirk was a giant of our time. He wasn't afraid to engage in dialogue and argument with people on the political left. This was so powerful and so influential that many on the political left feared and despised Kirk and all that he stood for. Kirk gave his life for what he believed in. At only 31, he was one of the great conservative thinkers of our time, motivating many people, millions, especially young people, to support Donald Trump and the MAGA or Make America Great Again movement. Charlie Kirk's insight, wisdom, and leadership will be sorely missed, but not forgotten. His legacy lives on through the organization he founded, Turning Point USA, and his speeches and recorded appearances that motivated so many here in America and around the world. It's being reported that the 22-year-old shooter, raised as a Mormon in Utah, is a homosexual who turned to radical leftist politics and became involved in a sexual relationship with a transgender male transitioning into a female. The shooter is said to have strongly identified with the communist Antifa or anti-fascist movement and the transgender movement. And if you haven't recognized it previously, you will see that these two movements are connected. The Antifa groups, many of whose members are said to be transgender people, are the violent and extremist wing of the communist left in America and other countries. Now, again, I'm not saying all transgender people are engaging in this kind of violence, but we have to recognize what the facts are. And as Charlie Kirk said, if you don't agree with it, prove us wrong. There are nutcase extremists on both ends of the political spectrum in America. And as I always do, I want to emphasize that in what is being presented in this video, I am in no way advocating any kind of violence or illegality in response to the many violent acts being perpetrated against conservatives and other Americans today by the political left's extremists. Again, don't fall into the trap, don't play into their hands of these adversaries of America by doing anything violent or illegal. It's immoral and against the principles of what our American way of life is all about. That said, I believe we have to recognize that the Democratic Party in America today, along with its rhino, that is Republican in name only, and other allies, has long been the true advocator of political violence against conservatives and anyone else who opposes their communist policies. Remember what was said by another titan of the political right, the late David Horowitz, himself once the darling of the political left and son of communists, who turned against this madness. A few years ago, Horowitz declared that today's Democratic Party is the Communist Party and recognized certain key characteristics of communists and other leftists. These include self-righteous, often raging hatred toward political opponents disguised as righteous indignation at supposed great injustice. Wherever communists gain control of a nation, this hatred turns to mass murder, terror, and slavery of the masses. Another key characteristic of leftists is the concept that the ends always justify the means. Thus, in order to achieve their delusional fantasy of global communism with a supposed workers' paradise all over Earth, violence of every kind, including, as I said, murder, terror, and slavery, is perfectly acceptable. Laws only exist to serve the ends of these radicals. And they often accuse their opponents of what they are doing, such as advocating violence and claiming conservatives are a threat to democracy, particularly Donald Trump. Understand that for leftists, democracy is a code word for communist totalitarianism. There is also hypocrisy, whereby so many of our communists and other leftist elites get and stay rich while advocating redistribution of your and my property, money, and other possessions to them and others they see as victims of us rich, middle-class people. This utter hypocrisy was pointed out by the communist critic, the writer George Orwell, in his novel Animal Farm, where he noted that, quote, everyone is equal under socialism, but some are more equal than others. Without further commentary, here are the video clips.
Before we dive into today's news, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter using the link down below. In tomorrow's newsletter, we're taking a closer look at China's expanding naval presence in the South China Sea and the response from Western nations. It drops Friday morning right into your inbox. Don't miss it. The nation is reacting to the shocking news of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Kirk was the founder and president of Turning Point USA and a prominent conservative voice among America's youth. Kirk was widely known for promoting traditional American values, particularly on college campuses, where he focused on encouraging civic engagement and free speech. Many see this assassination as not only targeting Kirk, but also targeting the broader principles he stood for, including constitutional rights and freedom of speech. In recent years, Kirk had also warned about the growing influence of the Chinese Communist Party, which he identified as a biggest threat to American society and its way of life. Let's take a closer look at some of his public statements on the CCP.
Many Americans who fled communist countries compare woke culture and cancel culture in America to what they experienced in their home countries. They see it as an example of communism's influence in the U.S. Last September, Charlie Kirk interviewed Xi Banfleet, a U.S. citizen who escaped China.
Socialism has been here. It's just getting worse and worse. Right now, it is a communist takeover. And I just can't believe. I thought some 36 or 37 years ago when I left China, I thought I left communism behind me. I thought I embraced the freedom, that freedom will always be here. How wrong was I?
Kirk also highlighted three key features of China's communist revolution. He wrote, quote, the leaders used three steps, promise free stuff, take the guns, censor dissenting voices. Sound familiar? Communism is literally knocking at America's door. We must never let it enter. Unquote. A clear sign of socialism's growing footprint in America is New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani. He supports free public transportation, free child care, and even city-run grocery stores. According to communists, socialism is the first stage on the path to communism. Charlie Kirk highlighted how the Chinese Communist Party identifies and seeks to influence American politicians. In an X post, he named 2024 Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz and Congressman Eric Swalwell. He said, quote, what's with Democrats like Tim Walz and Eric Swalwell having secret love affairs with women directly connected to the Chinese Communist Party? Unquote. Eric Swalwell had a relationship with Christine Feng, a suspected Chinese spy who was also known as Feng Feng. Feng had cultivated relationships with California politicians, including Swalwell, whom the Chinese government saw as having promising political futures. Tim Walz was reportedly having a romantic affair with Jenna Wong, the daughter of a high-ranking communist official, during his 1989 teaching stint in China. In another post, Kirk pointed out that Judge Angel Kelly participated in a judicial exchange program with communist China. Cheap Chinese goods are everywhere, but at what cost? Charlie Kirk cited U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, warning that China now controls key parts of Americans' daily lives.
Everything from the blood pressure medicine we take to what movies we get to watch and everything in between, we will depend on China for it. They have come to dominate the critical mineral industry supplies throughout the world.
Amid ongoing U.S.-China trade tensions, Beijing's rare earth export ban highlights the strategic risk of relying on China for critical materials. China also hoarded medical masks during the COVID-19 pandemic. Kirk pointed to the U.S. Treasury Secretary's comments, crediting Trump's policies for exposing China's true nature.
You might even say that he goaded China into a bad position. They responded. They have shown themselves to the world to be the bad actors.
Charlie Kirk, a close ally of President Trump, played a key role in helping him win the 2024 election. He often shared Trump's view on policy, especially on one of the biggest threats, the Chinese Communist Party flooding America with deadly fentanyl.
We've lost millions of people due to fentanyl. It comes mostly from China, but it comes through Mexico and it comes through Canada.
The Chinese Communist Party sees America as enemy number one. That's not new. It's always been that way. Through the Belt and Road Initiative, Beijing is expanding its influence, even in America's backyard, like Panama. The Panama Canal has long been under the control of a Hong Kong-based company, one heavily influenced by the CCP. Kirk cited the U.S. Secretary of War warning young Americans about the growing threat.
I want to be very clear. China did not build this canal. China does not operate this canal, and China will not weaponize this canal. Together, we will take back the Panama Canal from China's influence.
In 2022, Charlie Kirk told NTD TV, Communist China is America's number one enemy.
The Chinese Communist Party is the biggest enemy of America, period. Hard stop. I'm focused on Xi Jinping's reign of terror, not Vladimir Putin's at all.
This year, in a post on X, he said the Trump administration is leading the world in the fight against Communist China. He wrote, quote, "The world was waiting for America to lead against China. They've been ready and willing to unite against the CCP. President Trump is finally bringing that leadership to the world stage. Every move made up until now has been a buildup to focus on China."
What I don't know is, was this a trans person? Was this just an angry person? Is this a setup to make trans people look bad? I don't know. I hope that we are able to capture this person and get those answers. I don't want to spread any kind of false rumors. Now, Alex Jones pointed out some very weird things that were on the internet. I'm just going to play this for you and let you guys hear it for yourself. But this is very, very, very bizarre.
Now, Grok confirmed this. I went and looked it up and confirmed it. I saw this last night, and I wanted to wait and check. And a whole bunch of corporate publications, a full day before Charlie was shot, put out articles saying Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, but just the headline. And the people there were chanting, and we have the audio, you hear the crowd, the noise, and there's all the witnesses they were saying, it's kind of like, kill Charlie Kirk. It's like the crazy man that stabbed the Ukrainian girl in the throat. You got to listen real carefully, but he says twice, I got that white girl, but you know, he's in a train, so you have to really listen carefully. But you can hear it in there. I don't know if it'll translate over AM radio out there, probably would on FM, but it's all over X.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you see this guy? Literally, Charlie Kirk has been shot for 2 seconds behind the American comeback sign near the bottom. Charlie Kirk's body is laying there. His bodyguards have jumped on him. One of them has clamped his neck. They're about to pick him up and move him. This guy stands up and starts cheering cheering. Charlie Kirk has been shot less than 3 seconds, and this guy is cheering. It's so disgusting.
I see it. And the, you know, the cheering, yeah, once it happens, yeah, they're looking, yeah, yeah, ah, wah, yeah. And so I've got all the postings in the town by leftists and trans people that, hey, he's getting liquidated tomorrow. He's getting dissolved tomorrow. Something big's going to happen. He's going to go bye-bye. And then there's this, and I'll play that to show you the stuff in a moment, but look at this. Let's put this on screen from Amazon. Put the full screen up, please. The shooting of Charlie Kirk. Yeah, blow that up. Why does Amazon have the shooting of Charlie Kirk by Anastasia J. Casey posted one day before he was murdered? And then they updated it, and it's on the Internet Archive. That's been checked. It happened a day, September 9th. So it was already out there. And then they updated it today. Publication date, September 9th. The FBI needs to be knocking down some doors over there.
Those who are seeing this all about Charlie Kirk, first of all, I am devastated. I am stressed. I hope he's okay. I was just Googling this, and something blew my mind. This just happened, September 10th. If you look on Google right now, 19 hours ago, posted by New York Times and Los Angeles Times, 19 hours ago, saying Charlie Kirk was shot. 19 hours ago would have been September 9th. Today's the 10th. This doesn't make sense. 19 hours ago. 19 hours ago. Today is the 10th. This doesn't make sense. How could the New York Times and Los Angeles Times report 19 hours ago that he had been shot when this just happened September 10th.
All right. Very, very bizarre. So the day before Charlie Kirk is assassinated, somebody puts out a book called The Death of Charlie Kirk. And you've got two major publications 19 hours earlier already have the headlines ready to go that Charlie Kirk has been shot, that Charlie Kirk is dead. It's very, very suspicious. How would they know that? It doesn't make any sense that they would know that information. Now, I don't want to spread any rumors, but Alex Jones pointed this out earlier today, and I went down a rabbit hole. And I don't want to show anything because I don't want to falsely accuse anybody and I don't want anybody to get hurt. But there's a boy, a man in Utah last month that wrote and published a song titled Charlie Kirk Dead at 31. And when you look at photos of him online, he looks eerily similar to the person that they are looking for. I mean, like, you remove the glasses and the hat and similar chin, the dark hair. It's eerily similar. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know that that is the person, but that person wrote a song called Charlie Kirk Dead at 31. It's just very, very bizarre. I'm hoping that the FBI will release the name. And then we can go in and I will verify whether that was the person's name or not on the next broadcast. But according to CBS News, they have a name, they have somebody, they are looking for them. I'm hoping that we will get that information very, very soon.
Inscriptions on a fired casing read, notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this question mark? Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, hey fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point, up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow. And a third unfired casing read, if you read this, you are gay, LMAO.
Today, we'll bring you the latest and more of Charlie Kirk, the man, the husband, the patriot, as we remember his extraordinary life. We're going to start, though, with the suspect, Tyler Robinson. So a word on those engravings. First of all, yesterday, Stephen Crowder was correct that there were casings, that they had engravings on them, and at least one piece of what was on there was correct, the anti-fascist writings and logos. As for the trans reference, that's unclear. The bullet that they said hit Charlie had words on it that were notices bulges, O-W-O, what is this? And that appears to be a reference to furry culture, which is part of the trans community. It's a bizarre sort of offshoot of the weird trans thing. You can see this from online. It's a meme, and it has some meaning for these weird, bizarre, furry culture people. And also, it's used by gamers connected to that culture. Who the fuck knows? I'm sorry, but it's something very bizarre. And we're trying, you know, my mom always used to say when I was growing up, I cannot respond to irrational behavior rationally. And that, in a way, is what we're trying to do here. Because we're human, and we're seeking meaning, and we really don't want this to happen again. So we all feel like if we can find the reason behind this one, then we can prevent the next one. Because we'll just stop doing the thing that led to the first one. You know, we'll figure out what was the ideology. Okay, we'll look for that ideology, and we'll guard against it. That's only natural. All of us want to do that. So I don't know. I don't know what this guy was into. I don't know why he was familiar with furry culture memes. He certainly seems to have been a gamer. If you read online how people are reacting to the symbols that he was using on his casings, because the other three are as follows. Hey, fascist, catch, with three down arrow symbols. Then there was another one. Oh, Bella Ciao, Ciao like the Italian C-I-A-O, Bella Ciao, Ciao Ciao, which is a reference to an Italian anti-fascist song used against the Nazis. And then the unfired third casing had inscribed on it, if you read this, you are gay, L-M-A-O, laughing my ass off. So a reference to being gay, a reference to furry culture, and two references to fascism. Bottom line is Crowder was right. And by the way, those who are ripping on him are wrong. But it doesn't tell us that much. I've got to be honest.
Robinson was turned into authorities late last night in Utah by his own father. Tyler's dad recognized his son as the person of interest. And when asked, he fessed up to it. Sources say Tyler actually threatened suicide, saying he'd rather kill himself, which led the dad to call up his minister, who happened to be a U.S. Marshal. Robinson later surrendered and was booked into jail. The jail, 250 miles from the crime scene. That's right. The guy made it all the way home. So how'd he do it? New video shows Robinson leaving his sniper's nest and jumping off the roof. After that, he dumped his gun in the woods and hopped in a gray Dodge Challenger and drove 4 hours home. The governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, says the family did the right thing by turning their son in. Robinson's believed to have acted alone, but he left a hefty trail of evidence. Investigators found messages that he sent to his roommate.
These photos consisted of various messages stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel.
We now know more about the engravings on the shell casings. Listen.
Inscriptions on a fired casing read, notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this question mark? Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, hey fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point. Up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, O Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow. And a third unfired casing read, if you read this, you are gay, LMAO.
Bella Chow is an anti-Nazi song from Italy. Three down arrows is an anti-fascist symbol that's now associated with Antifa. And it's also a video game code for calling in a big bomb. Hey, fascist, catch. Well, he's calling Charlie a fascist and telling him to catch a bullet. And the bulges, O-W-O, is sexual role-playing slang used by furry fanatics. So who is this guy, this Robinson guy? He comes from a normal household, raised Mormon, parents are Republican. His father's in construction, and they live in a six-bedroom home in Utah. He grew up hunting, which explains why he was a good shot. And academically, he was a straight-A student who got a college scholarship. But he dropped out of college after one semester, went back to live at home, and enrolled in a trade school, looking to become an electrician. A family member said he wasn't political until recently, when something snapped.
The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate.
One of Robinson's friends spoke to The Guardian and said he was really leftist, pretty left on everything, quote unquote. They said he became an extremist, started ranting and raving. Robinson apparently spent too much time online. His shell casings had internet slang, and he dressed up as memes for Halloween. Robinson spent hours and hours alone staring at a screen. A Christian kid in a conservative household raised by a loving mom and dad in Utah, not surrounded by radical leftists, but gets radicalized into fighting fascists online.
Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
Fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
This is what kicking the out of fascism looks like.
Donald Trump is a fascist.
Trump is a fascist dictator.
As a fascist dictator.
Fascist chaos.
Fascist regime.
Look, are they a threat to democracy? Yes. Are they going to take our rights away? Yes. Are they going to put people's lives in danger? Yes. Are they going to endanger the planet by not dealing with climate change? Yes.
So how did America confront fascism in World War II? We went to war. And today, Democrat senators have declared war again.
We're in a war right now to save this country. And so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
Whatever's necessary to save the country? That's a call to arms. The left is losing the battle of ideas. Violence is a last resort. They're trying to silence us. So they can't lose the argument. They tried to cancel us, censure us. And at the extreme level, they've tried to kill us. They killed Charlie, shot Trump, shot Scalise. They almost shot Kavanaugh. Assassinated a healthcare CEO, cracked Rand Paul's ribs, and firebombed Teslas, and are attacking ICE facilities. And now they're trying to wash the blood off their hands.
Me disagreeing with you, me calling you, you know, I want to be Hitler, all those things are, like, not necessarily saying go out and hurt somebody.
They called Trump Hitler, and then Ryan Ruth says Trump's Hitler and tries to shoot him. They don't see a connection. They call Charlie fascist, and then someone shoots Charlie with an anti-fascist bullet. They know exactly what they're doing. They're giving the crazy wing of their party permission to take a shot. They're brainwashing an online army. The message is, these men are dangerous fascists. Be a hero. Take them out. They can't win at the ballot box, so they're using bullets. Charlie said it just a few months ago. Assassination culture is spreading on the left. 55% of liberals say it would be at least somewhat justified to kill Trump. Colbert's audience was just cheering about Trump dying. Tim Walz said he was secretly hoping that he woke up to the news of the president's passing. They're on a war footing. Charlie was killed in cold blood, and a sick faction of the left are reveling in it.
Do you support his death?
I do.
You support his death?
Charlie Kirk.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
On the day he died, you're here at a vigil.
Yeah.
For Charlie Kirk, and you support his death.
Do you support a Nazi?
No, I don't support a Nazi. Charlie Kirk wasn't a Nazi. You support his shooter?
Yep, sure do. freedom.
You support Charlie Kirk shooter?
Sure do. He does all in favor.
Would you shoot somebody like Charlie Kirk?
I would have killed him myself.
We need to politically destroy that culture. That whole movement should be crushed the way Charlie would want it to be on election day, in the marketplace, in the media, at universities, wherever it shows its ugly face. This anti-fascist political strain must be defeated. The militaristic mindset eradicated. And anyone profiting off of any of that in the public square should be expelled from polite society. You cannot accuse someone of hate speech to justify murder. Hate speech is just speech that liberals disagree with. America should be like the Five and agree to disagree. Violent attacks on free speech are attacks on the founding of America. And this vile movement is treasonous. Celebrating political assassinations should get you ostracized. Dowd was fired from MSNBC for saying Charlie deserved to die. And so were dozens of Americans just in the last 48 hours who worked at schools and in government, even in the NFL. This isn't cancel culture. This is society healing and getting rid of a cancer. And we love every American and forgive people who've lost their way. But we're not going to give them any quarter, not an inch. Charlie died for the First Amendment. He died on the battlefield of ideas, just like the colonists in the Revolutionary War. And if we don't defend free speech, America's defenseless and dies. We can win this battle without shedding any more blood. A great example of how to handle this, look at Utah.
I want you to look at how Utahns reacted the last two nights. There was no rioting. There was no looting. There were no cars set on fire. There was no violence. There were vigils and prayers and people coming together to share the humanity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is the answer to this.
Could you imagine if a MAGA sniper shot Biden in the head or shot a congressman at a baseball game or assaulted a famous liberal media personality? There'd be martial law. We'd have our rights stripped, our guns seized. Cities would burn, and America First would be behind bars. But you don't respond to an attack on freedom by taking freedom away. All of us should speak our minds louder without fear.
What do you say to people who are saying they see the assassination attempts in your life? They see the Minnesota lawmakers. They see what happened. They see what happened to Charlie.
I say you have to go forward. You just have to go forward.
Conservatives can't be afraid to go on a college campus and exercise their First Amendment right. They just can't. We can't be afraid to say men and women are different, that we believe in sovereign borders, that fighting racist and fighting crime isn't racist. And we have to go where Charlie went, everywhere, and talk to everyone, no matter where they're from and what they look like and what they believe. We have to force them to listen to us. And we have to confront them with facts and logic and science and reason. And do it in a way that's not mean-spirited. You remember how Charlie rolled? He sat back in his chair, and he smiled, and he listened, and debated like a real American. And he did it in person, surrounded by flesh and bone, not staring down the rabbit hole of the internet alone. That's where hatred brews.
Social media is a cancer on our society right now. And I would encourage, again, I would encourage people to log off, turn off, touch grass, hug a family member, go out and do good in your community. If this is a turning point for us, we get to make decisions. We have our agency. And I desperately call on every American, Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, conservative, MAGA, all of us to please, 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 follow what Charlie taught me.
This country needs a spiritual awakening. We need to go outside, hug each other, touch each other, talk to one another, and find our faith like Charlie did, get married, have families, and live honest and decent lives with purpose. This spiritual reawakening will be a turning point. Charlie was the turning point. You can feel it. You can see it happening. Prove me wrong.
I'm in D.C. on this Friday evening. The globalist system is in free fall. Their money's being cut off. The EU is trying to start a nuclear war with Russia. America is winning. Trump is doing the best job he could. And I can tell you from insiders, he's said it for 2 days. He is so upset about Charlie Kirk's murder because he knows they tried to kill him. And he just is so upset that we can't stop these murderous, Democrat-funded, Soros-funded, promoted Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Islamic terrorists. But it doesn't matter. America understands people on the ground for race, color, and creed. They understand what's going on. This is so historic. But here's what I'm here to tell you. Trump must declare Antifa terrorist organization. We got documents 10 years ago that Alexander Soros literally runs and commands this. And they run the trans terror groups. They run the Black Lives Matter. They're working with Islamic groups. They're planning a mass uprising under the Podesta plan. And I met with the DOJ today to get to brief them on that. They're fully aware of it. They've got grand juries open. That didn't happen 8 years ago. The first administration. It's happening now. They understand it's an existential battle. And some people in the administration are just milquetoast, they're cowards, whatever. Most of the operatives have been thrown out. But Trump is honing in to get hardcore patriots that will take action. They tried to kill him. They tried to put him in prison. They tried to put me in prison. He knows he's got to do it. He wants indictments more than you do. Think about that. So we in the information war, exposing the poison shots and backing RFK Jr. and supporting what Homan's doing and fighting all the kidnapped kids, which they're starting to do. We've got to understand that it's not just Trump fighting for us. We've got to do it in the information war. We're not white-pilled. We're not delusional and think everything's fine and trillion-D chess and Hillary was executed at Gitmo. That's all bullshit. We're also not black-pilled. Oh, God, it's all screwed up. Everything's over. We can't do anything. We have to be engaged. I've been doing this 31 years. Nobody was awake, maybe 1% back then. Now, like half the public is. And they're getting more informed and more involved every day. So we're not black-pilled. We're not white-pilled. We are reality-pilled. We are victory-pilled. We are determined. We are committed. And we're not stopping. A lot of folks are asking, what my meeting was with Ed Martin today, the strike force leader of anti-government weaponization, and the pardon lawyer. Well, I'm not going to talk about what that was about. And I met with some other folks today. But the point is, action is taking place. You didn't see that in the first Trump administration. Trump admitted he was naive, he was conned, he was manipulated then, and didn't understand what was happening. Now he's way more informed. And this is our real shot. We know what Kamala Harris would have done. The country would have already collapsed. We know they went forward with Russia. We know Trump's trying to stop it. So we must have Antifa declared a terrorist organization. Me, even today, I was just out in front of the hotel, shooting like a 3-minute video about Charlie Kirk and about Trump. And this guy thinks he's a girl, comes in on one of, what do you call those things that spin around?
Unicycle.
And he swarms around a few times. You're sad that guy got killed. I'm glad. And he ran out in traffic, almost got hit, came back around a few more times. And I was looking at him, real fast when he swung by, like 10 feet away. And I thought, it's like a skeleton face. It was really weird. Once we slowed the video down, I posted it on X. He had like a stocking over his face, like a skull face, but he was talking through it. So I was like, he looked like a gremlin. And he was giggling and laughing. Looked so psychotic. And if you go to a Democrat rally, it's like a third of them or more look just like that. Antifa now is like 30-40% tranny. And we're talking about guys that think they're girls and wear dresses and stuff. I don't hate those people. I have Blair White on the show. Nice person. These are like psychotics. They're being suppressed and accessed to our kids. They believe they're the rulers. And they say they're having their days of rage. And they've got their Antifa supporters, all the rest of it. But the guy that just got turned in by his family shooting Charlie Kirk. So this is so hardcore, folks, and so the DOJ's trying. I've got all the inside baseball, not just from Ed Martin, but from others, but you got Cash Patel more interested in PR stuff. You got Bongino that's pissed off about what's going on. They say Bonnie's pretty good overall, but it doesn't matter. It's the prosecutors that are going to take action, but it's us in the info war with Kennedy getting the floor out of the water and banning the mRNA shots and firing all the Fauci and Bill Gates people, and they're going totally crazy. We finally have fighters. I mean, Trump got some good Supreme Court people in compared to Democrats the first term and a few other things. But what he's done in 8 months in office compared to the last 4 years is like 10 times what he got done. So this is epic. That's why they're freaking out. That's why they're going to violence. That's why they're flipping out, because they're losing. But we've got to have Antifa declared as a terrorist organization. We've got to expose them. We've got to. It's all there. It's all there because they're planning these armed uprisings. They've said they are to then bring troops out. Then they're going to false flag migrant groups, black churches, I predicted, and traditionally black colleges, which now have shut down, claiming because Charlie Kirk got killed, the white supremacists are going to kill them. Blacks weren't involved in Charlie Kirk being killed. That's the globalists calling up a psyop so they can tell all the black students, oh, we got to close. The whites are coming to kill you. This is so obvious. I predicted it beforehand. So pray for President Trump. He has been taking it easier. I didn't say he was going to die. I didn't say he was even unhealthy. I said he can't work 20 hours a day at 79. He's got to play more golf. He's got to, you know, just work 15 hours a day. And he's doing that. But he was doing great, everybody I know. And then he now is, and so is Melania, really upset because it brings back everything that happened to them. And they loved Charlie. He was such a great guy. They killed him because he was the best. And he got millions of young to go vote. They estimate 2.5 million. And they just promoted killing him. They promoted songs killing him. They said they were going to kill him in the local post. And they did. And they wound this guy up online. He had handlers, they now know, manipulating him in Discord chats to go do this. These people are crazy. They really believe we're Hitler. They really believe they're killing fascists. And it's because they're desperate. So it's such a critical time to be alive. But just look at that amazing Washington Monument, George Washington's. And the spirit in D.C. is so much better. All the tents are gone. Talk to the National Guard, their listeners, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, running up, thanking them. People can go to the grocery store. They can whatever. I mean, the curse is being lifted. We can do this together. And we know giving up and being blackpilled is what the enemy wants. And just bitching and complaining. Let's just say Trump's bad. He's not. Let's just say all the other guys, nobody's good. You know you're good. So instead of bitching about what others should do, are you speaking at city council, county commission, school board? Are you running for office? Are you filing lawsuits? Are you speaking out? A lot of you are. We commend you. Are you promoting the stories and reports we have at Infowars.com and Man.Video and Real Ox Jones on X and our channels on Rumble? Are you following us there? Are you promoting that? Are you sitting on your email? Don't sit there and ever believe the liars that we can't change this. We've come so far. So I salute Charlie Kirk. We love him and he lives forever. And I know I'm a major target as well, but whatever happens doesn't matter because they got to get through us, the frontline patriots, to get to you. So I want to thank you all for your support over the years. I want to just encourage you all to take actions. And I just want you all to know that this is history happening right now. And this is about the journey being the destination. It's about the choices. God bless you. Come talk to us.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your back porch professor. And we do have some more breaking news here. And the lying legacy media is not going to like it. Now, as many of you know, I'm sure many of you saw, within hours of Charlie Kirk's assassination at Utah Valley University, the legacy media went into overdrive, spinning their predictable and pathetic narrative, and it had some variation to it. So one variation sought to distance the Democrats from this guy by emphasizing that he was just a deranged individual, a one-off, completely isolated incident, lone gunman and the like. And then the worst narrative was the attempt at gaslighting that this alleged shooter, Tyler Robinson, was actually a MAGA right-winger. I kid you not, the alleged gunman assassinated Charlie Kirk for not being right-wing enough. That was all over left-wing social media and left-wing media as a whole. But as the FBI investigation unfolds, we're discovering a web of deception that goes far deeper than anyone imagined, and it leads straight to the shooter's bedroom. It has now been confirmed that Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old who apparently confessed to pulling the trigger, he was living in an intimate relationship with a transgender individual transitioning from male to female. We are now getting reports that when FBI agents raided Robinson's St. George, Utah apartment, they discovered something rather extraordinary. His trans roommate had voluntarily handed over a treasure trove of incriminating evidence, text messages, Discord communications, detailed conversations about hiding the murder weapon and the like. And we now know that the messages painted a chilling picture. right? We have to remember that the moment that Charlie was killed, Robinson allegedly pulled the trigger just moments after Charlie answered a question about transgender mass shooters, where he defended, ironically, his assertion that trans shooters are disproportionately represented among mass shootings, given their proportion of the population. And so it does appear that a very radical form of trans activism provided the principal motive behind this shooting. It also explains one of the first details that emerged after they found the gun and the ammunition in the wooded area near the university. One of Robinson's bullet inscriptions included furry culture references, so furry referring to humans wanting to identify as animals. So on one of the bullet casings, Robinson reportedly wrote, "Notices bulge, OWO, what's this?" So that's a phrase. I mean, it started on the internet years ago, but it got adopted by the furry community as a sexual innuendo. Well, now we're getting images and photos of Robinson's transgender roommate, a fellow by the name of Lance Twiggs, being photographed in furry costumes. And so this key transgender connection obviously shows that Robinson was motivated by trans issues. So the evidence is pointing to the fact that Robinson represents that dangerous intersection where radical political ideology meets personal identity grievances. So as I'm sure many of you know, some of the other inscriptions on the ammunition were, "Hey, fascist, catch," and lyrics from a famous Italian anti-fascist resistance song from World War II, "Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao." So now with the latest bombshell revelation about this intimate relationship with a trans roommate who himself evidenced proclivities to the very furry culture that was splashed in some of the ammunition casings, it's absolutely clear that the motives behind Charlie's assassination were radicalized left-wing identity politics. So the lying legacy media has been completely exposed here. I mean, again, from the moment news broke, leftist media outlets and politicians did absolutely everything they possibly could to distance the shooting from left-wing politics and Democrat Nazi rhetoric. And again, perhaps the most tortured attempt at gaslighting was the attempt at painting Robinson as a right-wing extremist coming from a Christian Republican family that hunts. Representative Dave Minn actually claimed without evidence that Robinson was MAGA. I kid you not. Social media influencers again spread false rumors that he was connected to the Groyper movement despite zero evidence supporting that claim. Again, all they do is lie. But investigators are now coming out and publicly affirming that it was very, very clear that this was a person who was deeply indoctrinated with leftist ideology. Robinson's own family members, high school friends, they've all told investigators that he'd become increasingly politically radical in recent years, ranting against conservative viewpoints, expressing hatred against Charlie specifically. So the eyewitness accounts of his behavior change and his radicalization, the anti-fascist bullet inscriptions, the Italian resistance song lyrics, and now the personal relationship with a furry-inspired transgender partner, it all points to one inescapable conclusion. This was ideologically motivated violence from the radical left, plain and simple. Now, of course, the big picture here, like we talked about yesterday in our live stream, the big picture takeaway from this is that the lying legacy media absolutely, unilaterally, and unconditionally refuses to ever, ever, ever cover an event of left-wing violence as the story itself. That will never happen. Again, Robinson's assassination of Kirk, alleged until proven guilty and all that, but it fits a disturbing and ongoing pattern of incessant left-wing political violence that the legacy media simply refuses to acknowledge, from congressional baseball shootings to Supreme Court justice intimidation campaigns, from two assassination attempts against President Trump to trans mass shooters at Christian schools. We are witnessing an escalating war on conservative voices in America that the legacy media has turned a deliberate blind eye to. Now, you'll note, by contrast, that whenever there is right-wing violence, that is the story. J6 is MAGA. J6 is Trump. But when you have an overt leftist killing in the name of left-wing ideology, that is never, ever, ever allowed to be the story. It was just a one-off. He was just a lone gunman. Or like the pugnacious prick Bill Maher last night. We don't know his motives. We don't know his motives. That feigned ignorance, I mean, when it's convenient, of course. I mean, it's pathetic. Or my favorite, well, both sides do it. It's not just the Democrat. Republicans do it, too. Both sides do it. To which, all you have to do is point out, then why aren't Republicans burning every city in the nation down right now? If we're so freaking equal, if there's no difference between the two of us, then why aren't the tens of thousands of Turning Point USA members burning down cities right now? It's because we're not the same. It's not a both sides issue. One side consistently destroys, either as the aggressor or the aggrieved, George Floyd. But one side always turns to violence, whereas the other side turns to prayer vigils. We are not the same. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your back porch professor. I hope you're all having a restful weekend. You deserve it after all we've been through over these last few days. And we're getting some more breaking news here in the 72 hours since Charlie Kirk was gunned down at Utah Valley University. Something utterly amazing is happening. There is an extraordinary social media trend happening right now as we speak. Social media has exploded with viral videos of lifelong Democrats publicly renouncing their party. Not switching sides, that misses the point. They are literally divorcing themselves from ever coming near the Democrat Party again. This is astonishing stuff. All of these videos, maybe you've seen some of them, they all have the same pattern. They're all saying very much the same thing. They were utterly shocked to their core at how demonic and barbaric the modern political left has become. The glee, the celebrations, the euphoria that leftists splattered across social media. It didn't just shock conservatives. It shocked fellow Democrats. And we're talking to the core. The videos indicate that they had no idea that their leftist ilk had become this way. And so they're publicly renouncing their party, literally by the tens of thousands. To coin the great Brandon Strzok, this turning point is the great walking away. What we're witnessing with these videos isn't just individual consciences being shocked to the core. It's a mass awakening. The hashtag walk away, it's exploded across platforms in the last 72 hours with Democrats sharing their breaking points. One registered Democrat who since left the party put it bluntly. She just saw the lack of empathy is utterly disgusting. And she realized, I kid you not, she realized we are the worst. We Democrats, we're the baddies, as they say, right? She realized that, and God bless her, she's renounced the party publicly. She, like tens of thousands of others over the last 72 hours, will never vote Democrat again. And to me, that's the key. Here's what makes this different from typical political defections. These aren't policy disagreements. These are moral revulsions. These aren't policy disagreements. These are moral revulsions. Video after video shows Democrats expressing genuine disgust at their party's reaction to a father of two being murdered in front of thousands of people. Even the last person to debate Charlie Kirk, who's a hardcore leftist, but even he in an interview just the other day captured the irony perfectly. He told the local news station that the whole point he was trying to make to Charlie was how peaceful the left was right before Charlie gets shot. And you could see it in his face. You could see the cognitive dissonance that seemingly became unbearable for this guy. He was recognizing in real time that he was on the side of evil, and he didn't know it. More Democrats than ever are recognizing that their party has more in common with Al-Qaeda than it does with America. And they want nothing more to do with it. They're washing their hands of it. And so we do appear to be seeing a mass exodus from the Democrat Party. And again, we've talked about this a number of times on this channel, but this was already happening. Even the ultra-left wing rag, the New York Times, it's not even worth being toilet paper at this point, but even they published a panic piece a few weeks back on the extent to which the Democrats have been hemorrhaging voters. Voter registration trends have seen a 4.5 million swing away from Democrats to Republicans in the last 4 years. Democrats have literally been losing millions upon millions of voters since 2020. You'll notice how many of them didn't show up in November 2024. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's a party that is in extraordinary decline. And so this violence that we all witnessed, to our horror on Wednesday, together with this mass exodus, these are not happening in a vacuum. They're both the symptoms of something far deeper, something Chris Bray identified as the death rattle of a dying political movement. Chris Bray is a historian and political analyst. And he had a very good piece on his Substack arguing that Charlie Kirk's assassination is actually part of a broader pattern of institutional collapse within the American left. And this is something that we've been arguing on this channel for some time now. Bray notes that the turn to radical violence almost always represents the death rattle of a political movement that's fundamentally lost the ability to persuade. Which, again, if you think it through, could not possibly be a starker contrast to Charlie and the MAGA movement. He was all about persuasion. The entire event was entitled Prove Me Wrong. It was all about debate and dialogue and discussion. Instead, the woke left is all about silencing and canceling and excommunicating, and violence is the logical end of that. So Bray notes that the turn to radical violence is the turn that follows obvious failure. It's an acknowledgement of political impotence and a last-ditch emergency reflex. If the masses will not voluntarily submit to our political vision, then we will coerce them into submission. And there's some historical precedence for this, particularly from the 60s, with the New Left movement. So after the hippie idealism failed to transform society and change politics like they hoped, radical leftist groups like Weather Underground and the Symbionese Liberation Army emerged. So the pattern on the left is clear. When Democrat persuasion fails, violence becomes the refuge of the politically impotent. And interestingly as well, Bray noted that when this impotent rage boils over in the face of people not acting the way these leftists want them to, it boils over into what he calls a torture fetish, where you see the celebration of a political opponent's physical suffering and humiliation. So the violence joins together with a morbid celebration that substitutes for the victory that they were originally hoping to get by mere Democratic persuasion. The persuasion didn't happen. So damn you now, violence is coming your way, both political and personal, right? Charlie wasn't a politician. Violence against their opponents, then followed by, ha-ha, you got what you deserve. They dance on their graves. And the fact that this assassin seems to have a major trans connection, apparently living with his trans partner, that's highly relevant for Bray, because Bray notes that Camille Paglia, you know, the amazing cultural critic, she argued that late-stage cultural sexual disorder in the dying liberal world is fundamentally sadomasochistic. It's a desire to inflict pain on bodies that refuse to conform to ideological demands. Hence the left's obsession with transgender ideology and its celebration of physical mutilation as affirmation. Isn't that stunning? Camille Paglia argued but the late stage cultural sexual disorder that we're experiencing at the end of the liberal era is fundamentally sadomasochistic. It is collapsed into a desire to inflict pain on bodies that won't conform to ideological demands. That explains why the left is so obsessed with transgender ideology and its celebration of physical mutilation as affirmation. That's where we are. That is the turning point. This isn't political disagreement anymore. This is sadistic pleasure in human suffering. And the irony, as a result, they're losing more people than ever. This demonic party is seeing a mass walkout by the tens of thousands. The more they double down on violence and sadistic pleasure, the more their own political movement succumbs to a death rattle.